They'll figure it. There it is. Hey, let's try that again. Good morning. Good morning. I can tell you this. I just got done with a week of kids camp. And when I said amen with the kids, they all went amen right back. And I thought that was awesome. So let's try that again. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. I was just so impressed with the kids this week with kids camp that I was just, there's many things that happened. I thought, wow, we as adults can learn from children. We do. We need to learn from children because the purity of heart and mind that they come from, yes, they have purity of heart and mind and ridiculousness too, but they come at biblical principles sometimes way better than we do. And so for us to acknowledge amen is awesome. If you would you just listen as I read several scriptures? It's going to be 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. Then I'm going to jump to Romans. I'm going to jump in chapter 14 and then chapter 15. It starts 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. This is what it says. Okay, and the reason I think it's important for us to read God's word is we come up here and we try to bring God's principles and truths to you. And it's really important that we gather that and we understand it. That's how the message of God has been spread from the beginning of time. But we need to know sometimes that it's not Bill O'Boyle. It's God's word. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4 says, pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues, speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Romans 14, 19 says this, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 15, 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Let me pray one more time real quick. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that there's power in the word. God, that you have such great instructions for our life, Lord. I just pray that we would hear your truth today. That God, no matter what is said, Lord, that our ears and our hearts would hear and receive what you want us to hear. So we ask you to just bless this morning in your son's name. Amen. First of all, I want to say this is not a message on tongues. So everybody can take a deep breath and go, oh, good. Because it's one of those messages, one of those subject matters that you either get excited about or you're scared to death of, but we're not going either way, so today you can just relax on that. This set of scripture isn't even about tongues. We look at it and we use some scriptures for different reasons as weapons to prove our point, to say, well, this is what God's word says, and pulls it. This scripture is really about one thing, and that's this. It's a lesson on placing values. What's more important? It isn't saying this isn't important or this is unnecessary. This is completely saying on what's more important. And he's talking about prophesying because he goes on to explain prophecies. Because when we hear the word prophecies or prophesying or a prophet or any of those things, that makes us a little nervous too, because some of those guys are real whack jobs, right? They say all kinds of craziness and say, I'm a prophet, so listen to me. And you're listening and say, what? That doesn't make any sense. And some prophets are right on money and completely changes, but I love this. It says we prophesy, desire the gift of prophecy for this reason. Ready? So this reason, this is in verse 4, it says to build up. Amen. It's to build up, to encourage. Wow. Those of you with the gift of prophecy, how are you doing in those two? Right? Well, seems like prophetic people are good finger pointers, and we've kind of missed the point. The point is we need to build each other up. We need to encourage each other. And then the last thing is to console. You know, I had a real good friend whose mom died yesterday. You know, that it's a life thing. She's 93 years old. And it was unexpected. Even though she was 93, she was in great health. And you know what my job is? It's to console, is to love, to edify, to encourage, and to console. It's tough when we lose people, right? We need to be that way with each other. Okay? So this scripture, just to be really clear again, is not about tongues. It's about what's important in the body of Christ. The gifts that we have. The gifts that God gives us, because there's a big list of gifts. Okay, and we talked about this with the youth group a couple weeks ago, and I think I mentioned it last week, is that we're all part of a body. We're all part of it, and all the gifts and all of the things that God has placed in us is for the edification and building up of the church. And if you have the gift of prophecy, you need to be building up and encouraging. But it says this, remember this. It's more important, or the most important, to seek that gift. In other words, he's saying, make sure as much as you want to get caught up in your gift of, whether it be wisdom, whether it be knowledge, whether it be tongues, whether it be whatever it is, seek this gift because, I'm adding the because, by the way, because the body of Christ needs more prophets going in and encouraging each other. Building each other up. Wow, how powerful is it when we can come to church and we come back, go home and we go, wow, this was just an awesome morning. And somebody says to you, why was it so awesome? Oh, I don't know, the message was okay, the worship was good, but I just felt encouraged. People around me during the greeting time came to me and just said, hi, how are you doing? Let me give you a hug. It's building up the body of Christ. You know what? My daughter and my sons both went to this camp, and Anna Gammons went last year and is going this year. There's a camp that we sent them to in Missouri because that's where we're from, and it's Kennecott Camps. And they have a motto, and it says, I'm third. You know, we hear a lot of these videos, I'm second. Their motto, and they teach it and they give awards, the I'm third award. My son James has got one of those I am third awards. And it is a big deal because what it is that God is first. God needs to be first in our life. Others need to be second. Not me. Others. See, the problem with the body of Christ is we get it out of order. God first, me second, and if I have time and energy, others third. Right? That's what it is. I am third. I love that that is their motto. They want to train up children to take on an understanding and a belief system that others are more important than even yourself. You know, I was so impressed with our church last week. We did kids camp, and the children just came in. I saw them. Hey, guys, they're all over the place. And they wanted to see the video, too. And we took pictures and a little bit of video of the kids camp. And the thing that I was most impressed with, it was a great camp because we really got to do this, first of all. We got to go into the community. It wasn't just a, hey, let's bring our kids in and minister them, which is important. Please, once again, it's a value thing. It's not, this is not important, or this is not important, only this is important. No, it's of values. What is the more important thing? And this was important because we came into a community and we ministered to others. And the thing that I was most impressed with is we almost outnumbered them. That's how many people from this church came. That I was impressed with. So when you see the videos, you can see a lot. I call them minions all week because we look like the minions, all right? And as a matter of fact, let's do this. Even though some of you didn't bring your minion shirts, if you helped, physically were on site and helped us last week, would you stand? See how many we got here. Look at the numbers here, guys. Yes. You can go ahead and have a seat. This was so impressive to me. Because this is what we can preach. Pastor Leonard and I can preach all we want. And we can sit in our shiny little churches and our offices and be so happy about what we taught or how happy we are to be a part of a church that teaches the word and do nothing. whoo, we've missed it, right? If we're not looking out for each other, if we're not caring about each other enough to take a step. My friend lost his mom yesterday. Friday went to the hospital. I got done with kids camp. I was at a doctor's appointment. I get a call. And you know where I went? I went straight to the hospital. Why? Because I'm a pastor? I am not their pastor. I want you to know that. These people don't even come to this church. I'm their friend. I am a brother in Christ. And the truth is, although I was tired after 5 days of kids camp and I wanted a nap, I went because others before me. God first, others, then I'll take care of me. Right? All right, so I want you guys to watch this video, and I hope it's an encouragement and it's exciting. And it was done once again by Corey and Ashley, and we appreciate the energy and effort and the time they put into doing this. So if you would, let's just watch this together. It'll be my first time too.
You were more beautiful than anyone ever, every day. You're the same, you never change, no, never. You are more beautiful than anyone ever, every day. You're the same, you never change, no, never. How could I ever deny the love of my Savior? You brought me everything, all I need forever. How could you be so good? Yeah.
should sing together more often.
Miss Betty got on to me because she said, how did I miss not, I'm supposed to wear the yellow shirt. I said, Miss Betty, because you were so all over the place, you don't hear a thing we say. But I told her also, everybody would know she was there helping us. So we couldn't miss. Before the children leave, I do want to just take a moment and recognize Shelly and Allison. Would you guys stand up for us? These guys organized, planned, and carried out the entire thing. Let's give them a hand. And are you taking the children out? Bye, kids. They really spent hours and hours and hours on this. And once again, it's those people who get it. You know? How awesome would this church be if 100% of us got it? Whew. You know, we wouldn't have to be trying to talk you in to serving with the kids' church or with the babies or with cleanup. You know, it was so impressive. Pastor and I were talking the other day when Casa Cristiana was setting this up. They extended this, put new speakers in, did a lot of work. They came out and did our carpets for, what would you say, 4 days they were in here? Maybe more than that. They were in here, mobs of them, washing windows. They were just happy and rejoicing to be alive and serving others. They were serving us. It was the coolest thing. When I pulled in Friday to drop off some equipment, I saw some young 20-year-old kids up on ladders washing windows to their building. And I thought to myself, how cool is that? That people get it. That to serve others, to look out for the needs of others, the body of Christ, there is nothing that God calls us to do that's more important. Wait, let me rephrase that. If people don't know Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell, right? So that will always be the most important thing. People need Jesus. But then after that, we've got to learn to love. And the truth is, without love, you don't care about other people, do you? It all starts with love and ends with love. There is nothing but love. All right, in Romans 14 that I read real quickly, let me say it again. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. I looked up edification, and this is what it says. It says to build up or teach to improve. To build up, to teach to improve. You know, I love that Romans says mutual edification. Because it's not about you guys coming here so that Pastor Leonard can come and teach you and build you up. You know what it should be? You should be building him up. Amen. And you should be building each other up. Amen. You should be speaking words of peace, but encouragement to each other so that people come in here. Life is hard, isn't it? You did this young man, and it's actually the grandson and his father that I was with the other day. That's hard when you lose your mom. That's hard. And we need to console. That's what God's word says, console people who are hurting. But you know what? When we come together, we should love each other. We should also build each other up, even in the hard times. Even this morning, I'm not going to look at the person. Even this morning, walking in the door, talking about difficulties and how hard it is. Even when God is the one pressing us to be more or to do more with our lives, there should be a sense of peace and joy in our lives. It shouldn't be that we're always broken down. God wants to build us up, and it's hard to go through the fire. But if you trust him, when you walk through the fire, when you walk it through, hopefully you're surrounded with people who are going to love you enough to encourage. Keep going. Keep going. Dig in. Press in. Trust God. Bring joy in your life. Be alive. Don't look forward to when you're going to be alive. Be alive today, right? We need to edify each other up. Exhort, Hebrews 3:13. This is what it says. Love this verse. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Guys, We need to exhort each other. You know what the word exhort means? I had looked that up last night. I know what it means, but I never looked it up in a dictionary. Say, hey, let's look this up. It says this. First of all, exhort is written or spoken words. We exhort people with our words, okay? So it says, written or spoken words to persuade or to inspire or to encourage. That's what it is to exhort. Man, I tell you what, we all, there's not one of us in here who do not need times of encouragement. But many of us come into church to get. Get. I need it. I text the one young man who was has lost his grandma, and he just sent me a text. I don't know what time it was, but it was last night or this morning, either early or late, one of the two. And he says, I'm just hurting. And my response to him was, so come to church, right? Because my belief is that you guys here are going to love on him. You guys, he knows I'm going to love on him. I can do that outside of these walls, can't I? And I'm going to do that. But man, I was so excited. I said, come to church. Come to church. Let people love on you, encourage you, exhort you. When you're going through a hard time, says, I would have come to church today, but I was just too down. I'm like, what? What are you thinking? You need to be there more than any person there is. You need to come when you are hurting, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually, you're going through the fire and things are hard. You know what you need to do? You need to be in fellowship with others so that they can encourage you and love you. We need to mutually encourage each other. Yes, there are times where it's tough and we come into church so that somebody else can minister to me. Been there. Been there many times. But most of the time, when I walk into these doors, I'm looking for people who I can encourage, who I can love, so I can build up. I want us to do something that we don't do, and I'm not going to ask you to physically do anything other than turn your head, okay? So take another deep breath. Look around. Just everybody, just kind of look around. Look all the way around. Look for somebody that might need an encouragement today. Might need a spoken word. You know, over the years, I've had many people who've encouraged me in my life. There have been people in my life, I will tell you right now, my wife knows it. I used to get a written letter from probably two or three different families up north that just randomly, I'd say at least once a year, but sometimes three times a year from each one, that was just a written word of encouragement. Wow. It is beautiful. Are we grateful? Are we thankful for our pastor? Do you tell him that? Or do you just assume, well, he knows we're grateful. Look, we give our money. He's got to be thrilled with that, right? Right? Those words to exhort, mutual exhort each other, is to step up and talk to each other. And it's not about pastor myself. It's not. Man, I tell you what, we love you guys whether you say a word or not. I will tell you that right now. Amen. This man loves you. Amen. So whether or not you ever acknowledge the sacrifices he makes for you, doesn't change him. Amen. Okay? So when we come in here, we need to open our eyes and our hearts and say, okay, God, who am I in here to exhort today? Who am I in here, or who needs to be loved on today? And then we need to just do it. We need to quit talking about it and do it. Right? We know that life is hard. We all know that. You know what? Hard times isn't picky. It hits us all. I hear it all the time. Oh, you don't know my story. I don't know your story. I would love to sit down and hear your story. But you know, it doesn't change anything. God still loves you. God laid down his life for you. We're talking with the kids. The message of the gospel is pretty simple. The whole theme was Yosemite. And we talked about how awesome God is. And we showed pictures of Half Dome and other things. wow, God is so awesome. Then we look at each other and say, look at, God created this. God created mankind. We have to start with the fact that God is amazing. He is awesome. But there's a separation between us and God once sin got in there. Once sin happened, there is a huge chasm between us. Here's God. Here's this big valley of sin. And here's man. And Jesus, this is what we taught the kids. Jesus is the bridge. The only way from here to here, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how nice you are, how kind you are. And guys, that is a lie of the world. And a lot of us, you need to understand that Satan is planting that so people will believe that if you're just good enough, that there's many paths to get to heaven. And there isn't. Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood to wash the sin away in our lives so that we can come to him is the only way. And man, we've got duped. So many people are duped into believing all kinds of variations of that, but none of them are truth. There's only one truth. And we have to give our lives to that and trust that. And then even once you do, there's a lot of paths, aren't there? Yeah. Narrow is the path. God's word says, trust me. Whether it's in good times, hard times, celebration times, funerals, whatever it is, trust me. Trust me and know the word. See, that was the next thing we taught them after their lot of paths, is you have to get into God's word. You have to read the book. Amen. How can you know what answer or what path if you don't know what his word says? You know what we taught the kids? It's our map. You ever gone on a long hike? I used to go on lots of long hikes in my church. Where I lived, grew up in California, went in Yosemite, and we'd sometimes go 50 miles. And you're going through really wilderness. It'd be 10 days out there, and you've got to trust the map. I can't sit and say, well, let's see. There's this mountain, and this is west, so it should be somewhere over there. And just start heading there. But that's how we try to live our lives, don't we? We try to live our lives like we know better than the map. God's word is the map. But you know what's really cool about this? He doesn't leave us alone just to trust our understanding of the map. His spirit lives in us and we can talk to him. Man, valuable, valuable, valuable is it that we can pray. That we can talk to God and listen to God. And so that's what we tried to teach the kids. See, it's pretty simple that we need to lay down our lives and take up a path that's completely different than our natural instincts are going to want to do. God's word and who God is completely contrary to the world we live in. The world says, look out for yourself. The world says, you're the most important person in your world. It's all about you. Man, I know it. I work with teenagers. I work with adults. It isn't a teenage problem. It isn't a child issue. It's a society issue that we don't care about others. Could I have the worship team come up? I'm going to end with this. And I've asked them to play the song, One Thing Remains, is that what it's called? Again, because it fits so well with what I was saying. And this is the full message. Love is everything. Love is everything. See, we think that love is only the beginning. Love is the beginning, the middle, and the end. Amen. See, if you don't know Jesus and you don't understand it and you're lost in your life and you don't know where to turn, you need to turn to God because God's love sent his son to die for you. Amen. That you can have hope and you can have direction for your life. My life is not confusing, guys. I will tell you that right now. Sometimes it's busy, okay? I get that. But my life isn't confusing at all. And if you are confused, then you're probably not on the right path. You probably need to get your eyes onto something different than what you're doing. And I'm telling you right now to trust God. Give your life to God. You're confused, don't know what to do with who you are and where to go. And man, I don't know what I'm about. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. It is so simple. We need to wake up every day and say to the world around us, God loves you. And you know what? They don't want to hear it from your mouth till they see it from your actions. We have no right to walk down to Hopkins Park and start telling them about God's love unless we've taken the time. In July, when it's 94 degrees out and we are hot and sweaty and we're out there showing them we love them. Showing them we love, giving them food, caring for their hurts. Maybe just playing a game with them. Some of these kids don't even know that people care about them. So just taking the time to be with people. That's what it's about. Everything else, it's not important. Or it's less important. It's placing value. For God so loved the world that it gave. Are we willing to learn? Are we willing to start giving our time, our money, our efforts, our lives to others? That is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. The good news that we have that they need is that God so loved the world that he gave. Cost was so high, he's willing to pay it because he loved. Would you stand and sing this song? And what I want us to do is I want to open this up. First of all, I want to say this. If there's somebody here who doesn't know Jesus, who's on a path, but it's not the right path, it's not following God, it's not trusting God, Pastor Leonard's going to be here. I'm going to stay here. Come talk with us. You need Jesus. There's no sense in worrying about others if you're going to hell. Sorry to be blunt, but that's the truth. But if you know God, if you've given your life to God, and you're choosing to follow him, you may even be off base somewhere. Time to get back. Time to come up here and say, God, I chose to follow the world's map and not yours. Get up here and repent of that, turn from that, and say, God, help me to follow the path. And then get on the path. Start doing it. Start living it. So we want to just use this time. You can come talk to Pastor or myself, or you can just come up here and talk to God. Some of you just need a little bit of time with God. Come spend that time. So we're going to sing this song, and just sing it as an act of worship. Even if you're just listening today, let them sing it. That is completely fine. Maybe you need to kneel right where you're at and just talk to God right there. Whatever it takes, we need to all be on the same page. We need to edify and exhort each other. And if you're so broken or you're so off path that you can't do that, get that straight, because we ought to leave this room edifying and loving each other. Run up? All right. Go ahead, guys.